Chapter 15, Quod the Night. They were gotten the kist hard nearly to the dunterk when they were the douche of Carl and Malcolm landing upon shingle. All of a sudden, they were the most awful galishang and shouting coming for the top of the banks. Robbie, George and Kirsty stopped at their tracks as the hill place was lighted up with the bright beams of searchlights playing over the banks and the shore. "Stop right there," came a voice from between them. "Police, stop right there, both of you. Lie face down on the beach." Kirsty picked up the blinkie and, sheening it up with a trenky, roared to the folk, "You can wind down here." In nae time of a', twa men in bright yellow jackets was clambering down the gate. Een had coast guard and the tithering police ridden across their backs. The policeman ran across to the men lying up at the beach and handcuffed both of them. "Carl Weston and Malcolm Rickman, you are under arrest," the policeman said. "We'll discuss the rest with you when we get you to the station. If I were you, I wouldn't bother saying anything just now." The twa men was laid across the shingle. They gave Robbie, George and Kirsty a nasty look as they stood next to the bow of the dunter with a kist at their foot. Ane of the men grinned at them, then looked away as they were tying over to where the coast guard man was standing. With the men in handcuffs, the police and coast guard had a braw job shoving the twa ill-nethered craters up to the bank's brow, where twa mere police officers was waiting to mutton ahead of them. Drapping down to the beach again, the first policeman turned to the three bairns. "Well, you three, that's quite an adventure you've been on tonight," he said, smeeking at them. "First of all, are you all okay? No injuries, I hope." They all shook their heads, thinking they were maybe going to get arrested too. "Don't worry about a thing now. You're not going to be in any trouble at all," he said, then with another pity grin. "Although your parents are up at the top of the cliff waiting for you, they've been very worried." "Oh, man," said Robbie, the relief washing over him. "It might be better for worse if you Bill was at the jail." "Ha ha," the policeman replied. "I think they're just glad you're all in one piece." He looked down at the kist sitting at their feet. "It looks like you've quite a story to tell us. So let's get you up the cliff and a cup of warm tea for you. This will make an interesting end to my shift. In fact, it's already a lot more interesting than pretty much every shift I've ever done." They ran to the top of the banks, ane at a time, with the coast guard tacking up their ear. To the eastward, the dim roof was starting to light up the land and aath and about them. They were with a dozen folk there, mostly a' in uniform, coast guards and policemen. The only folk there without uniform was a' their folk. They were that blithe to see them in ee piece, they ran up to them and gave them a' muckle cuddle. Robbie and Kirsty's mither didn't ken what to say. Robbie broke the silence after a moment. "So, foo lang are we gaan to be grounded for noo?" he asked. And a' the adults burst out gaffing. The bairns joined in too. "Mam, I'm sorry we came back up here when you were telling us no tae, but you hae nae idea what we're fun here. It's unbelievable." "We heard about some out for the police, Robbie," she said, "and I canna be turning with you, so dinna worry. We'll hear a' about it for you later on." They got handed mugs of steaming tea out of flasks at the coast guard head. Meantime, Carl and Malcolm got bundled into the back of a police van. Twa the coast guard men came in sight up over the brow, carrying the final piece of the night's mystery, the wedding kist. Its amazing secret locked up inside it. As they had the dregs of their tea and some of the sandwiches that George was tying for the hall, their story tumbled out. They were that muckle to be said and axed. "Say, ma'am," Robbie asked, "but why did you came we were here and what we were doing?" "Well," his mother began, "we noticed that the three of you were going for the hall. At first we thought you were likely just outside with a fine night, maybe down at the brig or by the bikes. But then, come near the end of the night, there was still no sign of you. So your father and me went back to the house thinking you were going home. We were out of our minds with worry when you weren't in your beds. Then we found an old bit of paper with a poem upon it in thy room, Robbie, and when we read about the laird's heart upon it, and kenning you were been up there the other day and likely found something, we were even mair worried. And just with that, didn't a George's folk phone whiz, for they were found that he was missing too. On top of that, when we saw the boat was going for the noose, we thought it was definitely time to raise the alarm." "That poem is what I found in Archie's old kist up in Granny's loft," said Robbie. "And after Granny telling us the story of the Intrepid, we worked out that there was something amazing been stashed away here somewhere. We just didn't ken where. I should have hoided that poem better." "Well, I'm blithe you didna," his mother said, "for that laid was here. The policeman said that they were been keeping an eye upon this twa men for 20 days, but they were been told by their colleague Sooth that they were in Shetland and up to nae good. And Bairns, I think the police went here just in the nick of time. They got athing sorted out, and the police thought that seeing as it was that late, or early the morning by this time, the best folk could do was wind to their beds. They would be round the next day to tell them a' about it and take statements. The bairns and their folk wandered up to the ha' where the cars was. The old void building didn't look half as ominous now with the daylight on it and he and their folk with them. They were still kind of high after the night they were had, but blithe their adventure was over. And what an adventure it was been. George was allowed to bide at Robbie and Kirsty's. They thought they would never sleep with a' they were been through, but the excitement wore off as tiredness set in. They shouldn't need but hour, even with a light sky and the birds a' coming to life with a new day.